This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. If you've ever had to go to the emergency room, you know how quickly the costs can add up. Well, imagine the costs if you are going a couple of times a week. That's a reality for some people. They use a lot more healthcare than the rest of the population, and there's a new effort to help them use less. Joining us is CPR's health reporter, Eric Whitney, who joins us regularly to talk about some of the big ideas brewing on his beat. Eric, thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
And this idea of targeting people who use a lot of healthcare is called hotspotting. So it's an approach to lowering costs by focusing on this really very small segment of people, right?
Right. You know, in any population, there's typically a small percentage of people who use just way more than the average amount of healthcare, which means there's a lot more health spending on those people. So hotspotting is an attempt to find those people and then look at whether something can be done to get them to use less healthcare.
We're not talking here about people with diseases or conditions that are, just by their very nature, expensive to treat and require a lot of doctor's visits, right?
No. Obviously, it costs more to treat someone with, say, leukemia than, you know, for a broken arm or something. Hotspotting isn't about how to make expensive treatments cheaper. It's to try to find people who keep coming back to the healthcare system and then try to find ways to help them stay healthy so they use less healthcare. And, you know, those interventions can go far beyond what we think of as typical medical care. You know, for instance, helping someone with housing and transportation.
I'd love an example of someone who uses a lot of healthcare.
Well, I met this nice young man a little while ago named Richard Abels, and here's his story.
I had severe asthma, and I was in and out of the hospital once or twice a week every month because of my asthma.
It's a lot of hospital visits.
Yeah, it really is. You know, Abel is pretty sensitive to environmental triggers. You know, pollution or dust and mold can trigger his asthma. And for several years, he was homeless, so he really couldn't avoid those environmental triggers. You know, he'd have an asthma attack, and then he'd end up in the emergency room or maybe even stay overnight until he recovered. And it just kept happening again and again and again.
I know the hospitals, their Hippocratic oath is to help people get better, but some of them don't. They'll make you just good enough to get on your own two feet and kick you out the door, and they don't care.
Pretty harsh assessment.
Yeah. You know, my experience is that the people that work in safety net hospitals like the ones that Abels would go to, they're actually among the most caring people that I've met. But I can see why he'd feel the way that he did, that he'd feel abandoned, because the kind of help that he needed isn't something that hospitals typically do.
It sounds like what he really needed was a roof over his head, some stability.
Exactly. And, you know, it was actually a homeless organization in Denver called Urban Peak that put Abels on the path to getting his asthma under control.
So Urban Peak helped him find a place to live, which means he didn't have to camp out in places that trigger his asthma attacks. And what, now he doesn't have to go to the emergency room all the time, Eric?
Not quite that simple. You know, one thing you learn if you look at people who use the healthcare system a lot more than everybody else is that their lives and their medical conditions are complicated. You know, they often have more than one chronic condition. So it wasn't actually these asthma attacks that led to Abel's getting the healthcare that he needed. He had some other problems that put him on that path.
Like what?
Well, here's what he told me.
My youth, I spent in foster care and group homes, treatment facilities. And when I was 18, the state cut me loose without any medications and with nothing to do. And I started living on the streets.
It sounds like he has struggled with mental illness, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think he's really courageous for sharing his story with us. You know, he told me that he struggles with depression and this anxiety disorder that can make it really hard for him to relate to people or control his anger in certain situations. You know, those conditions had a lot to do with why he was homeless. And they actually led to him having to do 6 months in the Arapahoe County Jail. And he had to be in solitary because he couldn't handle the crowding. Just a bad, bad situation. And again, very expensive for taxpayers because, you know, we got to pay for those jail costs. And it's a lot cheaper to hook somebody up with a mental health counselor than to put them in jail.
Did that eventually happen?
It did. You know, after he did his stint in jail, he was able to connect with people at Urban Peak who recognized that he needed a connection to the Mental Health Center of Denver. They helped him make that connection. And once he did, things really turned around for him. They helped him get his own apartment.
And then they ended up getting me my service animal. And since then, I haven't been angry. My depression was kind of okay on the pills. But me being by myself in an apartment, always alone, they got depressing there. I have the service animal now, and she's my pride and joy.
This is a dog, Eric?
Yeah.
And of course, you were talking about the kind of care an emergency room couldn't provide. a pet, an apartment. These are right. not things he would have had just by going to the emergency department.
Yeah, you know, for Rich Ables, it turns out that a warm place to sleep and his dog named Marbles is more effective treatment than what he got at the ER, you know, going there twice a week. And if you think about an average ER visit costing around $1,300, you know, if you can avoid one of those, that'll pay at least a month's rent and buy a lot of dog food. So, you know, Ables has gone from going to the ER twice a week to only going twice in the last year and a half.
That is an improvement. Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty dramatic difference. And, you know, this is what hotspotters are looking for. And what they often find is that people who keep coming back to the healthcare system again and again, like Ables used to, they're often poor, meaning that public assistance programs like Medicaid get billed a lot, or they have no health coverage and they can't pay the bills that they rack up. So the costs get passed on to everyone else in the healthcare system through higher prices and insurance premiums.
So there's a benefit really to the community as well, not just the individual, if you can change a trend like this. Ables, I guess, is an example of the kind of person hotspotters are looking for. Is there one agency or organization in Colorado that's doing this kind of thing that has hotspotters sitting at their desks or something?
Colorado's Medicaid program is doing a lot of it. We actually did a story a couple of years ago about their efforts to find so-called emergency room frequent flyers around the state and to find ways to connect them to cheaper options. There's a link to that story on our website. But there's all kinds of organizations, government, nonprofit, and for-profit, that are trying to identify these people who end up in emergency rooms and get them regular primary care, just a basic family doctor, as a means of preventing this constant bouncing back and forth into the emergency room. The federal government actually gave the Mental Health Center of Denver a grant to do that, and Abel said that's really helped him.
And did they help him find a doctor?
The Mental Health Center is actually bringing primary care providers on site. You know, they're giving nurse practitioners offices right in a couple of their mental health clinics because they've found that really increases how often people with mental illnesses actually follow through with referrals for physical health care. You know, something as simple as being able to see a primary care provider in the same space where they're already going for mental health counseling, it really makes a difference, especially for clients like Ables who rely on public transportation. You know, they don't have to catch buses all over town to try and make those follow-up appointments.
It's so funny, Eric. You know, we often talk about mental health care as separate, right, from other kinds of health care. And this is such an example of how they are connected.
Right. And, you know, that's another trend I think we're probably going to talk about later is this so-called, quote unquote, integration of mental health care and physical health care to try to treat the whole person.
I would imagine that some people with mental health problems might not feel comfortable going to a regular health clinic anyway. I mean, those can be really chaotic environments.
Right. You know, the people at the Mental Health Center of Denver told me it's really common for people with serious mental illnesses to not get basic health care for exactly that reason. They're just not comfortable going to regular primary care clinics. And that's part of the reason that people with serious mental illnesses actually have life expectancies that are 20 years shorter than the average American.
20 years. Yeah. Well, Eric, back to the healthcare system as a whole. The idea is that if you can save a lot of money on ER visits or hospital stays from these frequent users, then you can use that savings to open up neighborhood clinics. You could hire social workers, things like that.
Exactly. And, you know, it's pretty early in this hotspotting trend to have a lot of data on how well it's working. But if people want to learn more about it, I've put a couple of links on our website, both to our earlier story that I mentioned and then to this pretty famous piece that was in The New Yorker back in 2011 that really goes in depth on the origins of hotspotting and where it's going.
That's all at CPR.org. Eric, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Eric Whitney is Colorado Public Radio's health reporter.